Welcome to Inside the Mortgage Mind, a Zenix podcast where you'll hear stories from professionals throughout the industry, from new LOs to CEOs, about their journey to achieving success. We hope these stories inspire and energize you to take your business to the next level.
Tom, how are you today?
I'm very good, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with me. Our goal at Zenix is to provide sort of insight as to what's happening in the boardrooms in the country with executives like yourself. So let's start with, it's been a crazy year and a half, and I'm guessing some things have shifted in your world and changed. Can you sort of give me in context what has shifted for you up to today?
Well, I think, you know, in large part, you know, my world is largely mortgage. It's the biggest business line I'm responsible for, but not the only one. So, but I would say if we focus on what's going on in the mortgage business, you know, we've gone through, I think, three annual budget iterations where our forecast was rising interest rates, return to purchase money, everything's fine. No one forecasted a pandemic. No one forecasted the kind of government intervention that we've seen, which has kind of helped boost and prop up our economy. And frankly, nobody knows what the real underlying economy looks like because of that surplus. So what's happened? Rates have stayed low. The government, frankly, is creating an artificial level of demand in the bond market. And as a result of that, rates have stayed very, very low. That's created an opportunity for a lot of people to become homeowners because it reduces their cost of home ownership. Now, the flip side of that is, you know, after, you know, the financial downturn in 08, 09, you know, a lot of people who worked in the home building business got out. So all of a sudden you wind up with a perfect storm where rates are low, you know, housing availability is very limited, very sparse, returning, but limited and sparse. And as a result of that, you wind up with extraordinary appreciation in homes, low interest rates. For a lot of people, that was good. For some people trying to enter the housing market, that became a real challenge. Affordability, I think, has become one of our real challenges. Sure. And then you had, as a result of the pandemic, you had an acceleration of the digital transformation of our business. And I think a lot of us have done a really fair job in migrating in that environment. But frankly, it's become a real challenge for us too, because we're not moving fast enough. And the regulations that back us up require us to do a lot of things manually, wet sign, signature. They've accelerated the pace of change, but it hasn't all gotten figured out. I mean, title, frankly, the biggest issue right now is appraisals. So turn times, our ability to serve our customers is being hampered because some of the regulatory environment has not caught up to you know, what we need to do to provide better service to our customers.
Sure. Who would have anticipated an inventory shortage in so many markets where it's true?
That's very true. But, you know, the problem is, I think there's not an unreasonable demand for move-up housing. Problem is, there's got to be a house available to move up to for you to want to put your house on the market and provide some supply to people trying to enter the housing market.
True.
So it really has become, you know, a real conundrum and a real challenge. And I think that in our business, our home finance business, we've kind of been so hit by refinances that it's taken that focus away. So as refinances actually do start to decline after 2 years of false starts, we're back to a purchase market with a lack of inventory. How do we reconcile that? How does that work?
Well, that's a great question.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. How are you adapting to this new world right now, or this new environment? And what changes are you making?
So we are rapidly accelerating our investment in our digital customer experience, no question. We are asking ourselves questions that we wouldn't have asked before. We are asking, okay, well, for example, what can we do about the appraisal issue? I mean, Fannie Mae certainly is doing a good job of kind of promoting, bringing people into the industry and trying to get. I think we also need to think about alternative valuations. I think that, you know, there are tools out there. The technology allows us to do a lot more than we've done. Now, you still have to make sure the house is actually there. You still have to prevent fraud, right? Sure. But I think we need to be able to start migrating in that direction if we want to shorten cycle times, if we want to make it an easier customer experience, and we still want to provide a valuable resource for investors.
Sure. What is the greatest priority you're working on right now to prepare for this and to prepare for the future?
Yeah, I would say our digital transformation. So, you know, okay. We've got, like many, we've partnered with a lot of fintechs, and probably there's more that we'll partner with going forward, both as a portal provider. So our customers come in and see us through the portal, but we're also part of a large organization. So we need to make sure that that portal experience for the customer is consistent, whether they're coming to us for a mortgage or other products and services. They don't want to have to re-authenticate every time they come in and want to talk to us and deal with us through the portal, right? They want to be able to use their access for multiple product lines.
So I'm going to guess, I'm hearing this from many executives around the country about culture. The word culture is coming out. When everybody was sort of in person, it was easier to define it and to create one and maintain it, if you will. Have you shifted over the past year and a half to more of a remote environment?
We are, to this day, 85% remote. You know, we call it hybrid remote for the most part. And I would say that, you know, it's been a real challenge for us. We do a lot of video conferencing. That certainly has helped. We stumbled a little bit in the beginning, but we've kind of upgraded some of our systems to be able to do a better job and make it easier for colleagues to get in touch with us. I still think there's bandwidth issues, depending on your geography, that kind of gets in the way. But we're definitely primarily remote for the most part.
Have you done anything specifically right now to either maintain the culture you had before or to elevate the culture? Are there any actions that you're taking specifically to help your team?
Yeah, so we do regular check-ins with team members. You know, we want to make sure, and that check-in's got to be more than just, let me go down your task list and see how you're doing. It's how are you doing? Right? How are you dealing you know, kind of the change in the work environment, the change in your personal environment? Because what happened is you wound up with a collision of personal and business. And how are you dealing with all that? How's that going? Because in the next room, maybe you've got a partner who's doing the same thing as you. And, you know, frankly, the insulation is not so great. So you can hear each other talk all day long. I mean, that creates stresses and tensions that weren't there before. So, you know, I think we're doing some of that. We're making sure that our people are good. We're doing pulse checks regularly. We do an employee engagement survey every year. And frankly, you know, we're letting that inform us as to what we need to be doing going forward. We have started or had started, I should probably say, kind of a more of a return to work. So in a hybrid environment, so nobody's got to come in, not nobody, but most people don't have to come in every single day. But when they do come in, we want to make sure that we maximize their time. And that's typically, you know, team meetings, that kind of thing. And what you usually do is you'll have your team in a room and some on video, because not everybody can make it. Yeah. Maybe they've got, you know, some illness at home or whatever. So we're doing our best to accommodate. But frankly, I think you also have to look at the silver lining. We no longer have a limited geography to recruit from. We can recruit from all over.
I know. And isn't that a blessing?
Right. And there's some good talent out there.
Absolutely. You know, it's really interesting because you said, how are you doing? And quite often when you're in a meeting, you have a Zoom call, you feel like you have to get straight to business because it's a scheduled meeting. And those unscheduled moments at the water cooler, in the coffee room, et cetera, you almost have to create those. I'm finding the intentionality has got to be there for every executive in the country. Or I don't know if you saw a recent survey that came out that said that one of the number one challenges for remotes is loneliness.
Yes.
And albeit I'm enjoying the remote world, even though I'm at corporate today, I love the flexibility. But I can imagine if you don't have a place to go, like I have a place to at least come to corporate when I'm getting in that moment, I need to hug and touch everybody.
Yep.
That loneliness, we've got to really get intentional about how do we help people feel connected.
Right.
And
the employee assistance programs are you know, they do a good job because they know what they're doing. They give people the right tools. I think that the check-ins and then the periodic. So let's say it's a monthly, you know, 1 hour in person, right? If you can make that work. So I think that combination as we come out of the pandemic is going to be really important, because I do think that for the most part, there's going to be a lot of virtual work now. And we need to kind of evolve our culture to be able to accommodate that and figure out how best to include people.
Could not agree more. You know, there's a trend, and since you and I don't know each other, I can give you some trends. So last year, when the market shifted, obviously, we went from, if you remember, March margin calls happening, everybody's in a panic mode, and then all of a sudden, now we have more volume and we have capacity challenges. Who would have thunk that, right? Within literally a 30, 45-day window. So we saw literally overnight the largest rise of new people entering our industry. Now, of course, we train people that are new, so we're sort of a barometer. What I'm finding, interestingly enough, and I'd love your opinion on this, is our newbies, it's not going down, which I thought the minute the market shifted, of course, our enrollment would go down in our new LO programs and our new processors. We now have new underwriting program, but I'm finding that the new LOs are still coming in. And so I wanted to get your thoughts. What do you feel about new people coming into our industry? Is this a good time for them, or would you caution them?
No, this is probably one of the greatest challenges our industry faces is, you know, we skew, you know, in the mid 50s for the most part, and there's going to be a wave of retirements that occurs over the course of the next couple of years that we need to be prepared for. And the only way to prepare for that is to attract people to the industry. And I think if you had interviewed millennials and younger generations, you know, within pre-pandemic, I think what you would have heard are references to the financial crisis and, you know, the mortgage business kind of being at the epicenter of that. And sure. I think for that reason and others, especially because I give the younger generations a lot of credit, they're very socially aware and environmentally conscious, and they don't want to be associated with that. And the fact that we've turned that corner over the course of the last 10 years, and you know, I think is really important and gives a greater sense of responsibility and accountability to our industry. And now people are starting to realize, younger generations are starting to realize that, okay, this isn't the monster industry that we were led to believe. And there's a lot of great value. And the feeling of putting somebody in a home that you help them afford, you know, you can't beat that. That's what keeps people in this industry at the end of the day. So I do think that that's important. And I think that they're starting to figure that out. But you're right. It is very critical that we continue to bring younger people into the industry to keep the industry fresh.
Yeah, it's really, I've been doing this for quite some time. And I've always found when you bring new people into your company, and we'll call it younger, if you will, for right now, there is a certain level of energy and excitement that they'll help the old guys like me get re-energized and go, okay, they're excited still. And if everybody can sort of look back, why did we get in this industry? Most of us stumbled into it, right? We didn't grow up saying, I want to be in mortgage banking by any stretch. And what we have found is if you really go back and look and say, why do we stay in it? Maybe it's money, but there's also purpose. I mean, think about in our lifetime, most people in America, right, want to get married, buy a home and have children. Right. Sometimes in that order. So you think about, okay, well, we get to help people achieve the American dream. What great, and get paid handsomely for that.
Yep.
And so, and every person you ever meet is a potential customer.
Right.
And so it's just a blessing. I absolutely have been in this industry now over 30 plus years, and I'm just privileged to serve it for sure. Yep. So let me ask you, as a new leader that I don't really know well, and I love asking this because, as you've gotten to a place in your career, quite accomplished, of course, in your role, what do you look for in leaders that you would potentially hire to bring onto your team?
I look for people who are smart. I look for people who are collegial, because I don't care. You can be a single incumbent role. You're still part of a team. And I look for people who are willing to learn and be independent about it. So, you know, not have to wait for direction all the time, but frankly, are aggressive, are willing to look for ways. In fact, I have a role that I'm trying to fill right now, which is a director of strategy role. And I was talking to somebody about that role as a candidate. And they said to me, well, I don't think I'm qualified. I don't have enough experience in the mortgage business. They do have experience. They just didn't think they had enough. And I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I don't want somebody with legacy mortgage experience. I want somebody who can think out of the box, because that's what the fintechs are doing. It's not like they have a legacy of mortgage people back there. So we need to think differently about what going forward is about, because the pace of change is going to continue to accelerate.
How
so I look for people who are smart, energetic, collegial, and frankly, willing to consider different things and work independently.
So I'll end with this question, because we're going to have some salespeople listening in to our podcast and to our interviews quite often. And if they want to get into your seat one day, and they're currently in sales, but they haven't quite accomplished, they're not quite accomplished, they're not at the top of their game, what's the greatest advice you would give to a loan officer who's in the market right now to continue to elevate?
Be versatile. You got to be willing to take on roles that you don't think are attractive to you, if not something you ever thought about, but realize where the gaps in your background are and fill the gaps. Mm. Secure yourself to a mentor. Find somebody who can help you consistently move up and help fill some of the voids that you may have in your background and help you kind of see that. Open your eyes. Be willing to be vulnerable and talk to somebody about where your weaknesses are, and then go about trying to solve for that.
I got to tell you, sage advice. Anyone listening in, I hope you heard what Tom said. You think about it quite often, we all recreate the wheel when it's already been established. Find someone who's already quite accomplished and just model them. Let them mentor you, and they will welcome you. That's what most people don't realize. The accomplished people are more than happy to give advice and to give you direction. So if you're struggling right now, go study a top performer and ask them for some help. So thank you so much for ending with that. I think that's incredible advice for anyone listening. Well, Tom, it has been a pleasure getting to know you just briefly.
Thank you.
I can see why you are where you are, and look forward to continuing to partner and serve you in any way possible.
Great. Thanks, Casey.
Thanks for your time. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check back for new episodes of Inside the Mortgage Mind, a podcast by Zenix, the Mortgage Academy. You can download our episodes wherever you love to listen to podcasts, or on our website at zenix.com/insidethemortgagemind.